commission and council reports. The only thing I think of on the commission is reminder slash clarification, Kareen, on the upcoming commission appreciation event that
yes.
RSVPs are due tonight.
Yes, correct? And I've heard from everyone except Corey, but he's at the Foundry right now, so I'll text him later.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
Thank you all for responding.
Is this going to be an outdoor event then at the...
I'm not really positive.
I don't know what else they have there. That's why it's different than anything in the past. Do they have the pavilions?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been told more info will be coming. So okay. Those of you that are going, I'll let you know.
Yeah. For those that have been to that event in the past, it's a completely different format. So there's no presentation. It's supposed to be a little more informal and... we call that, social. So you should just be able to go around and have more discussion with the other boards and commissions than before.
Are we going to have tables set up this year?
Okay. Yes, okay. There's a arts and craft project going on as
yes.
we speak. With,
yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So we get any hints about
that? Well, I don't know how top secret it is, but it is. There is a competition for the best tabletop display. And we are competing with a couple groups downtown that are known for their... Over the top.
Yeah. You're going up against the the Cultural Services Board, so you've got to up your game a bit. They'll do something.
Nikki Gershalis is... Nikki's the one that does. Is the one that worries me the most. She's pretty...
No, Gershalis. Yeah,
from, yeah, Gershalis.
Yeah.
She's got a stockpile and a closet full of
these. Yes, I think she lives for these types of competitions.
She does.
Is there such thing as too gaudy?
No.
Not when you're dealing with Nikki.
Nope.
Hey, this
no.
is good to know. All right. Council reports.
Last night at council we attempted to pass and then changed our mind about the community improvement program. Okay. The reason we changed our mind on the community improvement program, it was originally bundled by the group that put it together as 8 items to be put into a single tax. Last night, after hearing a lot of feedback from the industry, the health industry, you know, the health clubs and all that kind of stuff, about the unfair competitive advantage that Shilson Center has over them, I proposed to council, and it was passed unanimously, that we split it into 2 tax issues. One with 7 projects on it, being bike paths, 2 fire stations, Highway 34, Taft, help me somebody.
Underpasses.
Library and museum.
Yes.
Okay. Those 7 will be on a single tax issue for around 0.3, and I'm saying around 0.3 because I was doing Dias math when I was running my numbers. So they'll come back with correct numbers. But they'll be around 0.3 cents, which is 3 cents on $10. So 0.3%. And the health club, which was about 40% of the entire issue, will be at 0.2 cents per, so 2 cents on a $10 bill as a separate tax issue. There was so much contention in the community about that health club that I think it needs to be separated and stand on its own, hence why I did that. It's not that I don't support it, and personally I will vote for it, but I didn't want to end up like R2J has in previous years, where they, if you remember right, in the bond issue of 2016, where R2J came out with this big bonding package. Sorry, JD.
No, you're right.
They came out with this big bonding package, and they had, as the flagship of it, they had this beautiful new high school and a beautiful new ball field, and the whole thing went down like a 747 with no fuel. So I did not want to see the city get into that, where people could have a overriding target to shoot at to say, no, we don't want that piece, and then forget about the others. So that happened last night at council. Second reading for that issue and the correct, because they have to do a lot of work on that before we have second reading, will be on the 20th, next Tuesday. Also on the 20th, next Tuesday, will be the second reading for re-legalizing or removing the moratorium on marijuana retail stores and retail and wholesale and retail production facilities and marijuana research labs within the city limits. that moratorium has been in place since 2000. It was put in place in the vote of 2011, and it was done by June of the following year. So how that all shakes out, we will see. That was also split into two different issues that will go on the ballot, and mainly because of the confusion with the city's ability to charge more tax on the marijuana products than normally, you know, that is based in them. So the tax that the city would get on marijuana products is we'd get our 3% sales tax. Then the state charges 15% excise tax. Based on the calculations that we've been able to glean from the surrounding communities we're able to get data from, we get about 4.1, 4.25% of that back. So it's going to be about 7% of the price coming back in tax. And it was felt that that was enough to take care of the extra expense of police services, licensing services, et cetera, to make that product program work. But the city also has the ability to charge up to a separate 15% excise tax. And in the separate issue. We broke that off in the separate issue, so that'll be voted on by the public separately. Per council discussion last night, that money will probably be targeted directly to transportation and transportation only. So that way it's not, the idea there would, from my point of view, would be that it's not seen as the public as money grab. We're gonna spend it on roads and curbs and gutters and all the things that we, all those we need. So now from a national level, I've sent out to Joe and Brianna, and I don't know if you had time to read it, but one of the more unfortunate parts, I told you the last time we got together that the FCC was working on coming up with new radio frequency emission standards by the end of the year. They have now tabled that with no further comment on the issue other than that they're tabling it for now. So the conspiracy theory side of me reads into that that maybe they discovered something they weren't planning on discovering. The other side of me says they figured out there's nothing really wrong and they don't want to stick their nose in the fray. So I think either one of those possibilities is equally a possibility, and I'll keep you posted with more to come, because that's my next NLC meeting will be in November, something or other. If I re-win my election, then I'll be back with you. If not, I'll have to email you on your private email, since I will be going to that meeting to fulfill my commitment to NLC either way. So I'll pay for that privately, unless I get reelected, and then the city can reimburse me. But any questions on anything you've heard about council? Yeah.
Yeah. If the FCC did figure out that there was nothing wrong, why wouldn't they want to make that public?
Let's go back to that conspiracy theory thing now.
Okay. Yeah. That's the opposite thing, right?
You're absolute. Yes, exactly. I read some of that into there too, and I think anybody. Did you read it?
I did, and from my understanding, it was primarily focusing on Wi-Fi handsets and not related to the cell towers themselves. And so because there has been no change to the frequency radiation for handsets, they felt that there was no need to relook at these. So it was an interesting take. It was very focused on. It was not focused on what I believe the industry was asking for. It was focused on kind of a subset of, you know, WHO has not had the need to re-look at those items or has re-looked at those levels for handsets, which is what we all carry around, but it has nothing to do with the emitting devices that, you know, feed these
things. So it was a political sidestep coming into a political year. So I suspect after the next presidential election, they'll probably bring that up and look at it again. If they can get it done in 4 years, I'll be amazed.
Are there any reputable independent labs that might be doing anything along these lines?
What about IEEE?
There's some, but every other one that comes out is on the different end of the scale. One will come out and say everything's peachy, and one will come out and say the world's coming to an end. I haven't seen anybody in the middle yet saying there's a few things wrong here, so we should fix. And that's really what I would love to see.
I wonder what IEEE has said. I mean,
they subscribed to the the last I heard, they subscribed to the FCC's ruling based on the 1996 study.
Really?
Everybody uses that as a backstop, and it's old enough to vote.
And then I would think that IEEE would have a hard time making determinations on the health risk.
Sure.
Without, you know, participation from WHO
or
CDC
NIST
or somebody like that. You know, they would certainly change the standard to accommodate whatever the new finding is, but they're
right,
not a health organization, so that would be interesting.
Yeah. As I told you, I was going to apply to the Intergovernmental Affairs Commission of the FCC, but now I'm not able to do that, so that's unfortunate. Offward we go. It's and the reason I should expound on that. Now that I have a competitor in the election, they don't allow anybody to apply that's not at least 1 year into their term, and or running unopposed. But other than that, any other questions? Yes.
I had a thought actually, and maybe Councilman, you can help me with this. I think it was August 1st. The FCC published an ordinance about capping franchise fees. Have you heard about that?
Oh, the PEG. I'm sorry, I should have brought that up.
I just wonder if that will affect us.
So. Absolutely. About 2.5 years ago, this issue started, and it came through ITC with NLC, and I brought it to the attention of our city manager, assistant city manager. And at that point, the PEG fees that we receive, which is the franchise, you know, the offshoot of the franchise fees that we receive from Comcast and CenturyLink, et cetera. We've always used it to pay for our PEG channels with the cable company and to pay for the equipment that we use inside the city. And the problem is this: now the FCC has said that the cable companies can go back and take off of their franchise payments. They can deduct from their franchise payments any and all costs associated with providing those products to us at their true cost, not a negotiated cost. So it actually overrides our existing franchise agreements with them and will wipe out a significant amount of the income that we receive. So about, like I said, about 2.5 years ago, I warned our city managers to take that out of their budget planning, because we saw this coming at NLC quite a while ago, and though they fought it tooth and nail, it is now, you know, it's here, it's true, and we'll start seeing that in the next round of franchise payments, I would guess, as soon as they catch up with it.
Okay, thank you.
So the FCC again took away something regarding local control. Anybody else? Thanks.
Thank you. Director's report, Joe.
I will defer to Brianna.
I want to thank the Thompson School District again for this. They awarded me with a Colette Award. So I did bring it if anybody wanted to look at it. It's kind of cute.
Cool.
I'll pass that around. And then the other is, so that was up in Breckenridge.
Is that a defensive weapon?
It is. It's a mouse. It's actually a pretty cute mouse. It's the Friend in Technology Award for all the work that our project is doing to bring more connectivity to our school district, which is really exciting. The other is, I do want to embarrass Ryan a little bit. So Ryan has officially joined our team as a full-time employee. So he was on contract for a while, and so now he's official City of Loveland employee.
He's a real
employee now, so it's pretty exciting.
Does that mean you get paid?
Yes.
All right, good for you. Woo!
Real money.
Thank you.
Unless there's any other questions about kind of the general progress, about other anything else related to the project.
Why isn't it moving?
Did you check the battery?
Yes. Yeah, it's already slow, but
it's got a red light.
That's fun.
That's cool.
All right. Any other things that we missed?
I think so.
All right.
Steve. Steve has time.
Steve.
Hello, boy.
Q-tips and
alcohol. Shoot, you guys are way ahead of schedule. I got lots of stuff. So if
you're
I could just,
Steve,
for a second, talk to you. I'm on the airport commission for Northern Colorado Regional Airport. You may have seen a press release go out.
Allegiant
has re-announced service with us starting November 21st. 4 flights to Las Vegas on a weekly basis. and two to Phoenix again. So we'll have that, those coming up online. We're hoping to add some extra flights during the holidays so we can hit our 10,000 employments, because that's important to us for some financing from FAA. So they're very excited to be back. We only have about 100 things to do between now and the 21st of November to secure that service, including creating a place for people to wait. The good thing is they got the Airbus 320 and 319 coming in, so those are higher capacity aircraft. So we're looking at about 165 to 68 passengers each time. So anyway, just exciting for us, good news for Wind. And then everybody knows about the Foundry today at 6. So,
okay, so
and Metrolux is tonight showing shows. So
oh wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh right.
Yeah, so I'm sorry.
Going back to the airport, I seem to recall that the reason they pulled out is that it was an unmanned tower originally several
right.
years ago. What's going on with that right now? Is there a manned tower, or are they back off on that demand?
So a couple things. One is the remote tower that's currently under FAA guidance and working in phase one now is underway. And so soon they will deploy not only the remote tower, which we have in the other half of our waiting room area, which we need back now, but it's got the remote tower area in it. But the second thing is they also deploy what's called a temporary tower. And so what will happen during the phases of the pilot is the temporary tower will do the control, and our remote will be underneath shadowing, and then they'll flip them. And so during that process now, we're offering FAA the opportunity to control real live aircraft coming into our airport on a scheduled basis. So far they think that's a good idea, so we'll see if that's still the way. Otherwise, we'll have to provide another temporary air traffic control system on the airport. And that's okay with our partners now from Allegiant. The other thing is, in case you didn't see, the new football stadium, the Raiders, is called Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. That naming was just announced here earlier this week. So be a lot. Everybody can come and see the stadium named Allegiant now. So that'll be a church draw.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's going to be more to come on this, but everybody's excited. I think their planning staff is committed. The other thing that was asked of their staff that was there at the press release. Yesterday, Tuesday, was what's your future plans? And their comment was, we're evaluating the rates, the routes, and we know we had about a 92% capacity factor before, and so that's on the higher end of their rate capacity factor. So we're hoping that they see these routes fill up again and then look to add more, and they left that door open for us. So we're hoping to start working on a terminal project now and secure funding for that. So that's the next thing that's kind of on our list to do. But anyway, that's, I just thought I'd share that good news with you. Thank you.
Yeah. You ever had a chance to fly Allegiant to Vegas? That's awesome. I mean, relative to driving all the way to DIA and dealing with all the traffic.
Oh, yeah.
We jump on the plane and you're there.
Our daughter went to UNLV, so yeah, it was great for us for a year until they discontinued service. But we think we have two edges on them now. One is they really mess things up at DIA. The contractors are fighting each other. And so that's going to take longer, 3 years now. So people are not going to want to go to DIA, because you go over here and then you go up this way and you go up and then you come down over here. And then the second thing is that we're going to start really tearing up I-25. The CDOT's worked on obtaining some more funding for the reach from 402 down to 56, which will be that part that starts the three lanes. And so if we can get that going, that will be under construction same time our Highway 34 starts construction. So people are not going to want to be on I-25. So I think it's two more good reasons why we're going to become very popular as an airport here soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're looking at an air show in 2021.
Woo-hoo!
So we'll see what happens to that. We're on the list.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Move we adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Adjourn.